Today's daf in Masechet Shviit, Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Beis, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah at the beginning of the new Perek Shalosh Aratzot, at the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. So, again, this is a Mishnah we went into in great length when we were doing the Mishnayos with all of the maps and so on and so forth, so I'm certainly not going to go over all of those kinds of physical details. We'll just go through the basic issues here in the Mishnah. And that is, as the Gemara is going to be getting into here in the Yerushalmi, the question of mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz is a rather complex one. Because even though we have a pasuk from where we learn that the mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz are only nahagot ba'aretz, the question is, what is the aretz? And the Oretz is defined in many ways. I mean, we have the original Oretz that was granted to Avram Avinu, and that ultimately includes all of the 10 different territories that are mentioned, which are ultimately meant to become part of Eretz Yisrael, and that's going to include also the areas that had never been captured and we weren't allowed to capture, and in the end becomes part of Eretz Yisrael, even though temporarily they were given over to the Bnei Lot and so on. Then we have the areas that we were zeicher to be kevesh with Yoshua. Then we have areas that only were kavush partially after the loss of the original kedushas haaretz. If you hold the kedusha rishona lo kechelati lavo, and they were mikudash when Ezra came up with his meager number of people, and he was able to be kevesh certain areas of Eretz Yisrael. And that's called the Olei Bavel. And then we have the areas that David HaMelech was able to even expand Eretz Yisrael into places that originally were beyond the Gvulais. And that's called Surya. And we have different dinim for all of these different parts. And therefore, we need to define what the different dinim are and where the Gvulot are for all of these things. So we know from the Pasuk, we're going to have in the Gemara in a moment, Ki tavo el haaretz asher ani noten lachem, v'shavta haaretz shabbat lashem. That it says beferish, that the din of Shemitah is ki tavo el haaretz. And this is a general rule that we're going to get to, that kol mitzvah shitluya ba'aretz, eino noheges ela ba'aretz. But that aretz has shalosh aratzot, l'shviyit. In Eretz Yisrael itself, and then we'll see, we still have to deal with Surya, which is the place that was the Aram Tzova, that David HaMelech captured, does have other dinim, and there's even places where we were gozer certain dinim in Chutz La'aretz, Legabe Chala, and so on. All of these things we need to define. So Legabe, the area in Eretz Yisrael Gufa, there's three different dinim that are Nogea, Shemitah, L'Shvi'it. So, Kol Sheikh Zikoli Bovel, so the things that were actually re-inherited from the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, which is Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael in the south of Eretz Yisrael, all the way up. This is the pashtus of the way to learn the Mishnah. It's the way most of the Rishonim learn the Mishnah. There's been a lot of attempts recently by, when I say recently, over the past few hundred years, to learn the Mishnah as referring also to the south of Eretz Yisrael. I don't believe it. I really don't think it's reasonable. It's a complete departure from the way the Mishnah was understood. Memeshach kol ha'doros, and I really don't go in for it. But so the pashtuses that we're talking about, the entire south of Eretz Yisrael, which is why it doesn't give any kind of measurement of where the south goes to. So it would mean Eretz Yisrael from where the original borders were all the way up to Kziv, which is the Achziv that's mentioned in Yoshua, and which is today Kziv, that is Achziv north of Akko, and that means up to Kziv, not including Kziv itself. So over there, Lo Ne'echal. What in the world does Lo Ne'echal mean? So the pashtus would be, after Zman HaBiur, you're not allowed to eat from that area unless you did the Biur. Or Lo Ne'echal might mean, you're not allowed to eat it unless you're keeping the Kedusha Shvias, meaning that it's only eaten with those Tanoim and the understanding of what type of things can be eaten, which is their fundamental, or the primary, I should say, purpose, and that's the only way you can eat it. But you can't just use it. That would be another way of learning it. Remember that the Rambam throughout, he always focuses on the Isser of Svirche. And so Lo Nechal would mean that if these things grew on their own during Shvias, Lo Nechal. You're not allowed to even eat it, even if it grew on its own. And certainly Lo Ne'evat. You're not allowed to work the land. That means that that area is Shvias for all purposes. Benogea, the Isra of Avedas HaKarka, and all of the Chumras of Kedusha Shvias, including Biur, and including the Isra Svichin, which would apply to the grains and to the kidneys, all of that is included. Now, the parts that were originally, that go beyond this, that were originally captured by Yoshua, so the Choshech Ziku Oile Mitzrayim, that extends all the way from Kiziv until the Nahar, until Har Amana. So this already is very confusing because it's not very clear what we're talking about. But assuming that we're talking about the northern Gevulais, so then that's Ole Mitzrayim. So then the Nahar, very difficult to believe those who say that the Nahar is a reference to Nahar Prat, because we didn't get to Nahar Prat. There's no mention of Nahar Prat in any of the Gevulais of Eretz Yisrael that are mentioned in the Torah. And so most learn, as we spoke about when we did the Mishnah, that's talking about Wadi al-Kasmiya, and that is a small stream. I mean, to call it a Nahar is a little bit pushing it, which is the reason that many don't like that explanation. But that is also to the north, around the Turei Amnon, as we'll see, which is the Amana. And that starts going north to south, and then it bends towards the west. So it may be, in other words, it's defining an area that is contained in that space between Ksiv, the Nahar, and Turei Amnon. And that would mean that the Amana, which is the Pasuk, it's actually a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, right? And that's referring to the Livanon, which is called over there in the Targum, it's called Turei Amnon, and that's Hor HaHar, that's the, not the Hor HaHar that Aaron died in, which is in the south, obviously, but this was called Hor HaHar when it talked about, you know, all of the Gvulais. So it mentions to Tav Lechem Hor HaHar, V'zeh Lechem Gvul Tzafon. It says, Min Hayam HaGadolti Tu Lechem Hor HaHar. Fine. And there, the Targum is Turei Amnon. So this is the simple meaning, is that area to the north, which is north and extends also to the east of Ksiv, all of that before, up until the Wadi al-Kasmiya, is considered to be also Eretz Yisrael. But there are other dinim now. So there you are allowed to be Nechal even after the Zman of the Biur, and it's not considered to have Kedusha Shvias, but Afal Pikein, as far as actually working the land, the Rabbanan were Makbid, Avalo Ne'evat. So in other words, that would mean, according to the Rambam, the Pshat would be it's Ne'echal, because there's no Isser Svichin, and the Rabbanan didn't make an Isser Svichin in that area, but they were Machmer on it, that we should remember that this is part of Eretz Yisrael, and that you're not allowed to do Avodat HaKarka in that area. Now, how about min ha-nahar u-mi-amana v'lifnim? Now, that's not clear at all what's lifnim mean. The Rambam just learns beyond that. Lifnim means beyond that. There's a lot of attempts to explain that we're talking about an enclave over here, which is between the Wadi al-Kasmiya at its northernmost point, and then the place where it bends over to go to the west. Okay? That's not so partial because we don't see anywhere that there's any special halacha over there. But what we're talking about from the point that we've defined, that's how the Rambam understands it, north of that and east of that, there's no iser at all of shvias. You're allowed to eat there, svichin, you're allowed to eat without kedusha shvias, you're allowed to eat, liachas man habiur, and you're even allowed to actually nevad. You're allowed to work the land, and there was no gezera whatsoever. So there it's mutter, Mishvias. So this, we're going to see that there are, of course, other issues, and that would be, we haven't talked about the other issues, and that was the question of what happens in the area that we captured afterwards. That's a different question. Okay. So that we're going to see in the next mission. Says the Gemara, how do we know all of this? That the halachas are only nogea the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Well, k'siv eila hachukim v'mishpatim asher tishmarun lasod ba'aretz. So then, this is a general rule that doesn't require the specific halacha that where it says in the Torah, ki tavo el aretz asher ani noten lechem b'shavta aretz shabbos asher. This is telling me that at any point, all mitzvahs, it seems to be saying, these are the chukim and mishpatim that you're mechuyev to do ba'aretz, which is mashma, all mitzvahs are only done ba'aretz. Wow. Ba'aretz atem chayavim. V'yi atem chayavim lasot b'chutz la'aretz. This next piece is actually a bit confusing, and the Gra takes it out. We're going to see where this is nogea later on. Now, you might think that this means that all of the mitzvahs in the Torah, you're not mechuyev to keep in chutz la'aretz. So, yo'chal afilu mitzvot she'enan to liyot ba'aretz, because it says over here, ela chukim ha'mishpatim, which is mashma anything. What makes you think that it's only those things that are tlius ba'aretz? So you might think all mitzvot, lo yunal ha'gezel ba'aretz. Talmud lomar. So then we have the very strange psukim, in which after we're told, Vavatem me'ira mi'al ha'aretz ha'tiva asher Hashem noten lachem, so we're in Golos. And then it immediately says, Yishomru lachem pen yivtel avavchem. Meaning, don't think just because you're in Golos that therefore you're going to be potter, because the Yishomru lachem pen yivtel avavchem v'choraf Hashem b'chem, it puts you into Golos. Nonetheless, v'samtem et v'rayela al avavchem. What does that mean? Afilu golim. Even if you're in Golos, chas v'sholem, v'samtem et v'rayela al avavchem v'nafshechem. So, ma'islach, what's it talking about over here? Tefillin, Talmud Torah, which are the closing mitzvahs of the parsha. You're still going to have to keep those mitzvahs. So it's telling me that ma'islach, we got tefillin v'Talmud Torah. Just like tefillin v'Talmud Torah are mitzvahs that are not tuliyim ba'aretz, and it says over here that you need to be samtem t'varayela even in Golos, and they're no'agin bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. The klal is av kol davar. So therefore, those mitzvahs, you're potter from only when they're tluyas ba'aretz. Now, if that's the case, it has a very curious implication, because it's saying, even if you're put into golos, chas v'shalom, that you should still keep the mitzvahs that are ein tluyas ba'aretz. Okay, but that means you don't have to keep the mitzvahs that are Tluyas ba'aretz. So now, what happens if you're in Golos and you come to Eretz Yisrael? You don't have to keep the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, once you're thrown into Golos, there's no chiyuv of trumas and maisras and shemitah. Forget it. It's over. And the kedushas ha'aretz no longer is b'chayiv of mitzvahs, even if you'd come back. So me'ata, if that's the case, mishagolu yu p'turin. So then what you're saying is that you become potter permanently from the mitzvahs at Tluyas Ba'aretz, even if you come back, like Ezra came back later. So you lost the original Kedushas Ha'aretz, and therefore we don't recreate the chiyuvim of the mitzvah when there's a recreation of the Kedusha, right? That's not true. Because if you take a look in Ezra and Nehemiah, so what does it say? Vayasu kol hakahal ashavim min ashvi sukot, vayeshvu basukot, ki lo asu mimei Yeshua bin Nun. What? One second. I see that they kept sukkahs. What does that mean? They haven't kept sukkahs since the time of Yeshua bin Nun. First of all, I understand, before you even explain anything to me, who's Yeshua bin Nun? I thought his name was Yehoshua. How did he turn into Yeshua? What was it, a bunch of Christians over here? What's Yeshua ben Nun? So Rabbi Hillel, the Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman says, the Torah was willing to be pogem the covet that is due to a tzaddik who had already died, and that's Yeshua, b'pnei kvod tzaddik b'shaato, in order to be able to give the kovod to the tzaddik that in his time and was dealing with difficult circumstances. So the point is that, look, Yoshua, I mean, it's very, very sad, in a sense, to look at the Knesset of Ezra into Eretz Yisrael, and it's mamish, it's a bizoyan, you know? I mean, here Yoshua came into Eretz Yisrael with, first of all, the Shvatim that were Ka, Yud, Ke, the Osias of the Shame, were Me'ed Aleim, they were Ksherim, and as we just learned, Yoshua came in with all of the people that were Mamzerim and Psulim, and they weren't all Ksherim. And when Mashiach comes, we need to be re-Oisek in those who became not the ones that have lost the shame of Mamzeres, but he's going to be very marked on being Miyaches back to the original Shvatim and so on and so forth. And not only that, I mean, Yoshua came in with Nisim and Iflos and came in with a Kibush, and poor Ezra comes in only with the permission, you know, with the shtar that's granted him from the Goyim. Oh, what a bizyonis. He came in without the Nisim, immediately gets into trouble with the Goyim and the land and make it difficult for him. So, I mean, it's like very, very sad. So in order to show the godless of Ezra, who was working under such difficult circumstances, and in that sense was even greater than Yoshua, in a sense. In other words, that this, we know that that Chazal tell us that Ezra was Bedere like Moshe Bedere, which means that he was more than Yoshua. He was on the targa of Moshe in terms of his time. So because of that, we want the reader to understand that we're not going to give Yoshua his full name here in the presence of Ezra. He's only Yeshua, because Ezra is really the great man over here. Okay, fine. So now, let's explain what this means. Getting back to the pasuk. So it says they didn't keep Sukkot from the time of Yeshua. So what's the point, b'chlal, of bringing in a connection of Ezra to the Knesset la'aretz b'zmei Yoshua? Hikish b'yatan b'mei Ezra, b'yatan b'mei Yoshua. So basically, the pasuk is coming to tell us a hekish. In the same way that Yoshua ben Nun brought Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, in that same way, Ezra, in a certain fashion, even greater, Ezra brought. What does that mean? So just like Biatan b'mei Yoshua, when they first walked into Eretz Yisrael, they were putter from all of the mitzvahs at Luis Baretz, and only once he brought them in, they became chayav. Same thing happened b'mei Ezra. Av Biatan b'mei Ezra, they were initially potter when they were in the Golas. Ezra brings them in, and they immediately become chayev. Fine. That's telling us a big chiddush. And what exactly was the level of the chiyev? Mima nitchayvu? Was it a deoraisa? Or was it a drabonah? So Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina Amar midivrei Torah nitchayvu. They became chayiv in all of the mitzvahs at Tluyas Ba'aretz, such as taking off trumas and maisras b'nater. Adu dechtiv, ve'viyacha Hashem alokecha, el ha'aretz asher Yoshua avotecha v'yirishta. So you see the Torah compares, when he brings you back from the Golas, that you're Yoresh, the same Yerusha v'yirushas avotecha. Hikish Yerushatecha, v'yirushat avotecha. Just like Yerushat avotecha is a deoraisa, Midvar Torah, Af Yerushat Decha, that is going to be in this coming back with Ezra, is a deraisa. Wow. And the point is, Avotecha, take off, this next piece belongs later, says the Gro, we'll see where it's put very soon. Avotecha p'turin al yuvinit chayvu, Avotem p'turin al yitaminit chayvu. The point over here is that you have a new chiv here, not based on Yoshua. You were indeed potter, and you now have become chayev because of Ezra, who brings you in. And not only that, ve'tivcha v'yirbecha mi'avotecha. This is where that pasuk believed. That he's greater, in a sense, than your avos were. Because avotecha, they were, yeah, they had it very easy. Lo ayu aleihem ol malchut. What did they have to do? All they had to do was a little bit of fighting for 7 years, you know? Okay. But they didn't have an old Malchus on them. And you managed to do all of this even though you were struggling with the old Malchut of the Persians and all of the Tsaris that you had, and you managed to do all of this. Avotechem, they needed the 7 years of Kibush and the 7 years of Chiluk before they became Chayev. Lo nitchai v'lo yachar 14 shana. But you, heitiv chavir b'chami avotecha. You were Chayev right away. So avotechem needed sheva shekivshu v'sheva shechilku. Avalatem, the moment that you came back into Eretz Yisrael, nitchayavtem immediately. Avotecha lo nitchayvu ad sha'a shekana kula. They didn't become chayev until after the sheva of chiluk. So everybody needed to be given his chiluk before anyone became chayev. Avalatem, rishon, rishon, konel mischayev. As each person came to Eretz Yisrael and had his nachala, he became immediately chayev. As to the question of whether this kept on going, so that anything that's added to the bia of Ezra, even in later years, should also be chayev from the same chiyuvim. That's not so pashut. That's a big machlokas about whether the total definition of knisa of Ezra is the part that Ezra was kena, or even all of the vastly broader areas that were later, after Klal Yisrael became stronger, especially at the time of Hanukkah, whether all of that is considered to be part of the Oilei Bavel or not. Okay, that's a machlokas halacha lemaisa. There are many who hold that Yudavka, Ezra, is the one who was Mekadesh Haaretz. And let's say after Hanukkah, when there was a broadening of the Gvulais by the Chashmonaim, that those would not have been included in the Dinim of Eli Bava. Okay, all of this to be continued, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. On Beis L'Chedesh, we hope, and we should be Zecha, to once again see the Kibush and the renewed Chiluk, this time the Kibush of all of the Eretz Yisrael that was given to Avram Avinu, B'Shah Tovah Mutzlachas, during this Hanukkah. Yes, Reb Daniel, show me.
Rabbi, this discussion about Yeshua's name could be relevant for to the discussion we had yesterday on the meaning of Leoshia, Yeshua, that we discussed
Okay.
The meaning of that.
Yeah, we have to get back to that part of the sugya. We haven't gotten to it. Why exactly? We haven't explained what it means, lo asukas, sukas. So we'll get to that, Bezrat Hashem. Remember, that's very nogea because it's quite amazing, because Hanukkah is essentially sukas. Remember that. They actually used to call Hanukkah the sukas hasheni. So that was the sukas in the next chedesh of Kislev. And that because there was originally, what they did was that the Greeks hadn't allowed them to keep the Arba meaning. And so when they were Zeicher to Hanukkah, it became the time of, they made a Sukkot in the memory of the Sukkot that they lost. And that was the original connection to Hanukkah. And actually in the Sifrei HaMakabim, you know, whoever wrote those, that's how they don't have a Hanukkah yet. They have the Sukkot. This new sukkah in Chedesh Kislev. But it's really very, very negia. Today's Gemara. Lo asukah, sukkah says, and we'll see that it has to do with the shiur last night about the Yetzer Hara and about the Nachash and about sophistication, how to deal with the new level of maturity with all of these issues. And so it's amazing, the idea of maturity. I think it's Mamish amazing. It's just completely, when you look back, you know, you feel everything was like so childish. The kind of things that people were involved in, the absurd politics and the ominous attacks, and, you know, this guy is no good, and this guy is no good, and he's an Epicurus, and he's a Russian. It's like, you know, it all seems like it's like these little kids that are playing in a schoolyard. It's embarrassing to even look at it, and, you know. And it's one of the incredible things that comes out with the inyanim of the Chochmah of Hanukkah, the development of the Malchus. You grow up already. What is your mind involved in listening to these absurd kind of broadcasts and these talking heads? No idea what they're talking about, blah, 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 all day. And people are literally becoming like brain dead from it. And you're wondering, like, who would put up with this? How is it possible? And then you realize, listen, it wasn't so long ago that you were also listening to Stuyot and then involved in the most embarrassing kind of small-time nonsense. And now when you get to see the issues that your life is really Nagea, that Kleistral is Nagea, and you recognize, like, what the level of maturity must have been to be able to accept the whole idea of the development of the Malchus and those Parshas and the Torah that nowadays they wouldn't even expose their children to. It's like, it's amazing. It's just like you feel like, well, where did all of this come from? Anyways, it's pushing very Nagea, I think.
Yeah. All right. A few weeks ago, Rebbe responded to Gavi's question, and we said that there is a relationship between how you deal with your own life and the overall situation. So that means, I mean, I assume that our life cannot be simple anymore in terms of
how to deal. Well, we spoke about that last night also in terms of the Chida and the Kafachayim. I talk about the nature of Gula in one's own life, about how it's reflective of where the person is holding in terms of the Gula itself. Amazing times. We should just be zeicher that there shouldn't be any Chas v'Shalom, the Besuras Rois, and the tremendous Tzar, and the wonderful, wonderful people, the Meser Nefesh, Hashem Yazar. Okay, everyone. Kol Tov. Wishing you a Chodesh Tov, Bezrat Hashem. Don't forget the Rav Kaplan Fund. We can still join. Anybody who wants to participate, please either let me know. As far as the receipts are concerned, if you make the donation, you let me know. I will inform the children of Rav Kaplan that you need to have a receipt that is issued. So that would be
okay. I will send to Rabbi what I paid before because of the tax.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Summary. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Kol tov, everyone. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Gavi, for the beautiful. The dangerous cows that you risked your life for this morning to be able to show us. Those Tzvat cows are, whew. I don't know how he walks between them like that, one on one side and one on the other side. I don't know. But okay. We appreciate your Mesiras Nefesh. Go to it.